Appreciate that. Exodus chapter 32 tonight. If you go ahead and take your Bibles, turn there with me. Give you just a second to turn there. And Pastor Jeremy talked a little bit about this morning, talking just about the Bill Rice Ranch and the impact it has had on countless teenagers. And it is in our plan to go at the end of July. July 20th is the new date that we've selected. And I've been in contact with the ranch, and everything is looking pretty good on their end. Teen camp will be a little different this year. Teenagers ask me, "Well, how different?" Well, perhaps the horses will wear masks. I don't know all of the answers, but I do know that it's going to be a little different than what we've experienced in the past. But I can guarantee you they're doing their best on their end to be in compliance with the health department and the state. But at the same time, putting together a fun program that is going to give us a great time, but also encourage our heart spiritually. So we're looking forward to that, and I know that sometimes it's difficult to gauge parents with all the uncertainty in the air, especially this summer, of what the right decision is there. I'm praying the Lord will give you the wisdom to know what that decision is, and that you'll get right with the Lord and send him anyway. No, I'm just kidding. But we would love to take whoever is able to go, and we're looking forward to that to the end of July, July 20th. Exodus chapter 32, I want to talk about a subject tonight that I don't know, I've been thinking about recently. I'm going to talk about leadership this evening, and I continue to be a student in the school of learning good leadership, and I can think about the leaders that have impacted me in the past. I'm sure you can do the same, and maybe even when I bring up the topic of leadership, immediately the Lord has brought back to mind some leaders that have impacted you in some specific way. As I was on vacation in Florida last week, I took some time to do some reading. I enjoy reading about the topic of leadership. There's a number of different books in my office, some written by Christian men, some not written by Christian men. I read one book over vacation that was written by the man who was a CEO of Disney Corporation for 15 years. And that came out not too recently ago, and it was a very insightful book. One of the things that I want us to look at this evening is some principles that we find in Exodus chapter 32. Now, when we look at this subject of leadership, perhaps traditionally it would be imperative for us to go to a passage of Scripture where we find a solid leader that is standing for truth without wavering and who has all of the amiable qualities of a leader that you and I would perhaps seek after. But I've chosen a different route tonight, and I want us to look at Exodus chapter 32, and I want us to see a lapse of leadership. Okay, so we're not going to be turning and looking at David tonight. We won't be looking at Daniel or Joseph or some of these others that were, in fact, great leaders. I want us to take an example out of the book of Exodus here and see a leader that was still developing. And really, a leader that had a great lapse here in the book of Exodus. You know, many times when we hear the word lapse, and I did choose that intentionally because it carries with it the idea of a temporary disruption. Now, someone might say, I had a lapse of judgment, or in that moment I had a lapse of concentration, which for certain could have been the case here. But I believe that in our country today, and perhaps even in some of our homes, there is a lapse of leadership. And maybe even as we discuss this subject tonight, the Lord would bring to mind some areas in which you look at the influence that you have on other people or the leadership role that you occupy, perhaps in your home, at your job, in the workplace, in our community, or even in our church, where you say, you know what, if I had to be honest, there's some lapse of leadership taking place in my life. Let's go ahead and notice the context of what's happening here. And it shouldn't be all that unfamiliar to us because Pastor preached out of this passage last week, last Sunday morning, but he mainly dealt with Moses, in which I want to talk primarily about Aaron. Look at what it says in this first verse. The Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron." Now again, the context of what's taking place here is Moses and Joshua have gone up to the mount to speak to the Lord. And it is during that time that the Lord will give those precious commandments to Moses, who would then be directed to the people. So this is a very special time for the nation of Israel. But as we already know and are well familiar with, the people get a little antsy in waiting. They become impatient and they draw themselves to Aaron, who has been left in charge of this massive group of people. And as we study this tonight, I pray that the Lord will open our hearts to some principles that we see in His Word. Before we go any further, let's just ask God to bless His passage tonight. Lord, we understand that tonight this is a room that is full of imperfect people. Lord, we thank You for Your grace, which, Lord, has saved us. But it also continues to grow us. And Lord, I pray that, Father, we would remove, Lord, any covering of pride that we may have in our lives today and be willing to approach this subject of leadership and influence with, Father, both eyes wide open. Lord, would You speak to us? Lord, thank You for Your Word and how it does change us. We ask that You would give insights to us now as we study. In Your name we pray. Amen. Would you notice number one tonight in your notes? I see that leaders recognize their ability to influence others. Leaders recognize their ability to influence others. Notice verse one, what's taking place here. When the people saw Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. As has already been said, this was the man who had been left in charge. And they are drawing themselves to him. At this moment, the influence that Aaron has on this situation could not be understated. A simple utterance of his words will literally change the course and dynamic of the entire group of people. And we're going to sort of back up a little bit and acknowledge the influence that Aaron had and where that came from before we study some of the decisions that he made. But I would understand that leaders recognize their ability to influence others. Aaron is in that situation, this position of having the ability to influence people. Now, inevitably, if you've read any leadership books, that you know the question comes up, who is it that can be a leader? A pastor even talked about this last week. Is a leader just somehow born to greatness? Or perhaps are leadership skills learned as time goes on and are leaders developed? I love the definition that John Maxwell puts on leadership. And you can read a lot of books and you can find a lot of elaborate definitions, but I think that his definition is probably the more accurate, and that is this: leadership is influence. It's a simple thought, but it's a powerful thought. Think with me just for a second how maybe the people in your house have influenced you. Maybe the kids tonight would say, well, I couldn't understate the amount of influence that my parents have had on my life. Maybe the parents would say in the same frame of mind, well, my kids have impacted me. And I think if we were all honest, we would have to say something similar. You know, I think about how the fact that my kids love fruit snacks. How many of kids in here tonight like fruit snacks? We've got some kids here, some bigger kids I see as well raising their hand. My kids love fruit snacks. You know, I can't say that I was wild about fruit snacks. I can't say that I'm wild about fruit snacks now. However, one day my kids offered me some fruit snacks. They said, Daddy, would you like some fruit snacks? I said, okay, sure. Guess what? I enjoy fruit snacks now. My kids have influenced me greatly. Believe it or not, your kids have influenced me greatly. Being in the youth department is a wonderful thing. I tend to be on the leading foot of all things that are relevant to teenagers today. And it's very insightful. I don't know if it was last year, the year before, and I don't even remember who was talking about it. I could take some guesses here tonight, which I won't do, but there are some teens talking about Takis. Now, how many of you know what Takis are? Raise your hand if you know what Takis are, okay? All right, there's some folks who don't know the delicacy of Takis, okay? Takis are basically a spicy tortilla sort of wrapped up and all kinds of spices thrown on it, okay? And they come in different flavors and that sort of thing. They were talking about Takis one day. I said, what's a Taki? They said, hey, try a Taki. I tried a Taki. And after I got over the sensation of just flames pouring out of my mouth, I said, that's pretty good. You know what I bought on vacation? Takis. I enjoy Takis. We all have the ability to affect other people, and that ought to be a delight to every single person here tonight. Let me talk to you kids just for a second. Do you understand, children, that you have the ability to help your brother or sister do the right thing? That's influence. Do you realize that the way you act can help your cousins or your brother or your sister do the right thing? Why, that's pretty special. The point is here tonight is that leaders realize that they have the ability to influence people. And all I'm saying here this evening that every single one of us in this room has that ability. You know, Aaron was in that position. Certainly it was a role to fill, but it was also a situation in which he had great influence. And I want us to see just a couple of things in regards to that. And first of which is how does one influence? Or what is the way that we think we influence people? Now, this is where we sort of get off track, and I love Brother Matt's Sunday school lesson. If you missed it this morning, go back. It's on Facebook Live. You can listen to that again. But, you know, sometimes the way that we think we can influence people, or really leaders can influence people, we think that there has to be some certain qualification in there. A lot of times we think, well, you know, the people who really influence others are the people who have dynamic personalities. Or maybe they're just hilarious people. You know, people that can really make you laugh. Now, they can really influence you. Maybe sometimes we think, teenagers, we think sometimes it's people that have wealth, great wealth. They've amassed great wealth. Or maybe it's even, in some situations, some great accomplishment, which I'm not saying that doesn't maybe help in the process. But you know what we find when you start studying great leaders? You find that many of them did not have big personalities. I was reading this past week, the individual, the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg. You know what people say about him? He's an introvert. Now, what's amazing about that is he started a huge social media platform. I mean, this is the individual who put together what we know as Facebook, and I'm certain most of us here tonight would have a Facebook account, but simply put, sometimes our thoughts about the kind of leaders that God can use or even the type of people that wield influence are not always connected with reality. So what is connected with reality? What is the person that God can use in regards to influence? Well, I want us to notice Aaron's situation here and answer some of those questions. Notice, first of all, Aaron knew the Lord. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 4. I want you to put your eyes on this. Exodus chapter 4, we're going to look at a few verses here. Okay, answering this question of how does one influence someone else? If it's not personality or looks or money or accomplishment, how is it that we can influence other people? Well, I think this is where it starts. Certainly did for Aaron. And that is, number one, that he knew the Lord. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 27, this is where Aaron is referenced. Notice what it says. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him. Now, this is one of the first occurrences that we find of Aaron. And the Lord here is talking directly to him. Okay, so there's a relationship here between Aaron and the Lord. And this is the point that I want to make tonight because I think it is so important. When we know the Lord, we are in the best place possible to influence other people. And this is really ground zero of where the Lord begins to formulate the influence in the lives of others. Aaron was at this place in which he knew the Lord. Well, what would come after that then? Well, notice not only did he know the Lord, but we could notice that not only that, but he walked the path God had for him. You say, how does an individual get to a place where they can influence others? Well, you know the Lord, but then also you walk the path the Lord has for you. And he continues to develop that influence. Notice with me the same verse in chapter 4. He says here, as the Lord's talking to him, He says, listen, I want you to go and I want you to meet Moses. And that's exactly what he does. You ever think about the fact that Aaron was further ahead in this point than Moses was? I want you to think about that. Remember, the Lord is speaking with Moses. He says, listen, I've got a special plan for you. Okay, Moses knew the Lord already. That's step one. Okay, God can use that influence. Now God says, I have a plan for your influence. And what does Moses say? He says, hold up, Lord. What's Moses doing? He's putting the brakes on. See, the second thing is that not only that you know the Lord, but then you learn to say yes to him. You follow that path that he has for you. And yet, what do we find with Aaron? God tells Moses, he says, listen, Moses, listen, your brother, he's going to help you out. He's going to be my spokesman. He reaches out to Aaron. Says, Aaron, listen, I want you to be my spokesman. Is that all right? Yeah, it's fine, Lord. Boy, Aaron is actually on a great path to using the influence that the Lord would have him use. Now, here's an interesting thought. You realize that before you and I even came to be, the Lord had a plan for the people that we would influence? Boy, that's an amazing thought. Boy, and all the while, the Lord's saying, hey, listen, come to know me. Let me grow you. And as you begin to grow, just follow me. Just follow me. And your influence, your light, as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. That light that you have is now going to influence the people that you meet in life. And so how does one use influence or develop influence? Well, you know the Lord. Not only that, but then you learn to say yes to the Lord. And that's really how Aaron got to be at the place that he was back in Exodus chapter 32. But what's the third thing? Well, he used and developed the gifts that he had been given. Put your eyes on verse 30, if you will. Exodus chapter 4, you're still there. In verse 30, notice what it says. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. You know, can I talk to you teenagers for just a second? You're born again, you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, and you've begun to follow Him. Can I encourage you, just continue to say yes to the Lord and continue to follow Him and continue to use the gifts that you're realizing at this age. Maybe it's a musical gift. Maybe God's given you the ability to be able to speak, do some public speaking, or maybe he's given you a mind to be able to calculate certain factors. Can I encourage you, just continue to say yes to God? Continue to take those gifts and just continue to fashion them, because God wants to use those gifts, just like he wanted to use Aaron and his ability to speak for him to bring glory to the Lord and influence others. You say, how do you cultivate influence? Well, you know the Lord, you say yes to the Lord, and you use and develop the gifts God has given you. Our first thought tonight we've looked at is that leaders recognize their ability to influence others, and I hope that's the case here this evening. I hope that you realize, no matter how many people you know or how small your friend group may be, that you are in a perfect position if you know the Lord and are following him. You're in the perfect position to influence other people. I sort of wonder, did Aaron realize what he had? Did Aaron at this moment understand that, boy, you know, this isn't just a power grab situation. I'm in charge, but God wants to use me here. And God wants to use all of us. Notice secondly with me, go back to Exodus 32. Notice what it says here in our text. We're going to look at verses 2 through 4. We've noticed that leaders recognize their ability to influence people. Notice with me, number 2, that leaders make decisions that are guided by principle. Leaders make decisions guided by principle. Now, we're going to read this, and you answer the question in your own mind, is that what Aaron did? Notice with me verse 2. It says, "And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. He received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. After he had made a molten calf, and they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." I don't think there would be anybody here tonight that would say, well, I look at it, Aaron's making a principled decision here. No, it doesn't look like that in the least bit. But leaders have to make decisions. In fact, part of using influence using the influence the Lord has given to you is, in fact, making difficult decisions when they need to be made. I was reading this past week about a man by the name of Alan Turing. In World War II, he was the individual who cracked the German code book, which was used to send messages between German commanders and generals. These messages carried the information relating to where the Germans would bomb next. But when the code was cracked, difficult decisions had to be made with human lives in order to conceal their new secret. Boy, can you imagine being in that position? Here you are, you're wanting to take advantage of the information that you've now acquired in cracking of the code. You now understand where they're going to drop the bombs, but in order that you can take full advantage of this, they knew that they were going to have to let some of those bombs fall. Can you imagine being the leader that had to determine which people group got bombed and which ones didn't? Well, those are some hard decisions. And certainly we as leaders and influencers have to make hard decisions as well. Let's look, though, at some of the potential pitfalls of Aaron's decision-making here. As we've read down through it, there had to be something going on in Aaron's mind, of which we're not told, so we can only speculate, but perhaps maybe there was some uncontrolled ambition in Aaron's mind. You yourself have some ambition, some goals you'd like to accomplish, or maybe there's some teenagers in the room tonight that say, in 10 years, this is where I would like to be, and in order to be there, I'm going to have some accomplishments and rise up and that sort of thing. Maybe you have a job, and there's a position that you hope that maybe, and you pray that you get to at some point. Ambition isn't a wrong thing, but if this was unhealthy ambition that went against the Lord, then that certainly is a wrong thing. Our ambition always has to be in submission to the Lord, and whether or not that was what was holding Aaron back from making a good decision here, we're not told. But there's uncontrolled ambition that can hinder our decision-making. Impulsive decision-making can be a hindrance. As someone says, fast decisions make fast results. Well, not always, right? Proverbs 25 and verse 8 says this, "Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame." James speaks of something similar when he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Perhaps it wasn't uncontrolled ambition or even impulsive decision-making. Maybe it was just an emotional response. And maybe Aaron, feeling overwhelmed at the mob of people that was staring him in the face, just gripped with fear, makes this emotional decision. And truth be told, we as influencers, as leaders, can fall prey to some of the very same temptations that we're not careful. That's why we need to have something we go to, some principled help to guide our decision-making process. So let's troubleshoot with Aaron here for just a second some of the things that perhaps would have turned this around just a little bit. Notice with me is something that I actually think that he did well here, and that he is gathering the information. If you've ever had to make an important decision or a hard decision, you know the importance of gathering all the intel that is involved. And Aaron actually listens. Aaron sits there, and this people come, and in my mind, I think that he had to have known that this situation was going to come up. This was not the first time that the people had grumbled and complained or even brought up the fact of, hey, should we go back to Egypt? He had to have known or at least have processed something in his mind before this occurrence came to be, but he sits there and listens. I would have to say that I've learned some lessons in my time in ministry and being in the youth pastorate. I found that sometimes there are two different types of teenagers. Sometimes there are teenagers that God said it, and I believe it, and that's all I need. Teenagers that seem to stare the Lord in the face and just grab hold of truth with faith, and that's good enough for them. But there are other teenagers that have a few more questions. They want to understand it a little bit more, and they want to see it throughout the Word of God. And you know what? That's okay too. You look at the way that Jesus led his disciples. He let them ask questions. And boy, you think about his perspective already, even knowing the questions before they would ask him, the patience he had to hear them out and to work with where they were at. I think that's a great quality of a leader. And here we see Aaron is actually doing something positive when he gathers the intel. He's listening to the complaint here. Colossians 4 and verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Proverbs 18:13, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly, shame unto him." And we can see the way Jesus led in this regard as well in the Gospels. So we see he gathers intel. But I want you to see that this is really the glaring thing in this passage, and that is that Aaron forgot, number two, that leaders are still good followers. Aaron forgot that leaders are still good followers. Think about Aaron's situation just for a second. Where did Aaron's authority come from? Is it just, did Moses leave and say, "All right, Aaron, this is your authority. You can do whatever you want and make decision, whatever decision you want." No, that's not how it worked. Aaron's authority came directly from God, but it came from Moses giving him that role. Aaron was Moses' spokesperson. Aaron was in the position where he didn't speak his own words. He spoke the words of Moses, which were the words of God. And so here Aaron is, and he forgot this very important factor, and that is that leaders are still good followers. As I was studying this, the Lord brought to mind a couple of weeks ago, Philip and I were headed somewhere in the car, and we were pulling out of the driveway and around the corner and about to leave our neighborhood. And I said, "All right, buddy, we got to make good time. I'm in a hurry." And he said this. He said, "Oh, okay." He said, are the police going to see us?" And I said, well, buddy, I'm not going to break the law. I mean, what do you think we're going to do here? Blaze the trail and forget the speed limit. But, even though I'm in control of that vehicle, it doesn't mean I can do whatever I want. Sometimes I think in my mind as a teenager, I seem to think that, whenever I get beyond the bounds of high school and I take those steps toward, greater independence, I'm going to get to a place where I'm not going to have as many constraints. And I'm not going to have people that are sort of guiding and telling me what to do. And boy, I just thought there was going to be so much freedom. And there is in a different way, but I got to tell you this, a hard lesson, teenagers, is there's always going to be somebody that's going to be over you. It's just how life is. And you know what? Accountability is not a bad thing, but we have to understand that. And leaders have not been given absolute power, and neither was Aaron, but he mistook that. He forgot that leaders are, in fact, still good followers. Aaron's authority was limited. This was not his decision to make. And there are certain decisions that we are not able to make. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, "Obey them that have rule over you. And submit yourselves." Romans 13 and verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." Aaron was accountable to Moses, ultimately to God. But Aaron refuses to acknowledge that. He claims absolute power in this moment, and he begins, before even seeking counsel or seeking the Lord, he goes forward in an unprincipled faction. Notice third of all here that he failed to see the big picture. Have you ever thought about that? What did Aaron hope to accomplish here? I mean, certainly he had some sort of plan in his mind. But he made probably the worst decision he could possibly have made. You know, what had God already told Moses and Aaron? Listen, you're going to bring my people out of bondage. We are moving towards a place that flows with milk and honey, and it's the land of promise, and you're going to love it. They're going to love it. It's where I'm going to put my name. It's just going to be a special thing. What was Aaron thinking at this moment? He took his eyes, for whatever reason, off the big picture and his role in those people's lives. You know, sometimes as a parent and influencing my children, I can take my eyes off the big picture. You know, what is the big picture in regards to raising my children? You know, what is the big picture in regards to my life in general? It's to bring honor and glory to God, and we do that in the decisions and the actions that we have and that we make. Aaron failed to see the big picture. I want us to notice the third thing tonight as we move down through here, and that is leaders continue to influence when things go wrong. Notice your text this evening. You've been listening to some support scripture, but notice verse number 6. Things began to deteriorate quickly in the camp, and they rose up early on the morrow. They offered burnt offerings, brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. You know, as I look at this, Aaron probably had high expectations for this decision that he had made. But as things progress, things begin to deteriorate rather quickly. And I want to believe that deep in the heart of Aaron, as he made this decision, just maybe he was hoping to buy some time. You know, maybe I'll relent to this, and maybe they'll just quit badgering me, and then by the time they get done with their feast, we can throw away the golden calf, and maybe Aaron will come or Moses will come back, and we can act like all of this never happened. But we find that the sun goes down, the sun comes back up, and they're feasting. Things begin to deteriorate quickly. They disrobe themselves, and on it goes. I wonder if Aaron even thought about stepping in. But leaders continue to influence when things go wrong. Notice that Aaron became passive instead of involved. As we talked about, this begins to unroll here, and Aaron's name is not brought up until Moses gets back. I wonder if perchance Aaron just excused himself from this situation. I don't know. It references the people several times. It is possible that he made this decision and then just kind of passively retreated. We understand that the Lord would have us engage rather than to retreat. And truly, leaders step up when sin steps in. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Aaron should have stepped up. A leader must be ready to reverse course when it becomes clear that the wrong decision has been made. And we're not sure why he didn't do that, but Aaron became passive when he should have been involved as a leader. Notice Aaron, things continue to go on, but Aaron became irresponsible when he should have accepted responsibility. Now notice as Moses comes down and begins to question Aaron in verse 21. Put your eyes on verse 21. Notice what it says. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought, notice the words, so great a sin upon them? Look at verse 22. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, they're set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we what not? We don't know what has become of him. He said unto them, wherefore hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, then I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. Sort of comical when we read it now, but nonetheless, Aaron became irresponsible when he should have accepted responsibility. Notice in verse 24 here, Aaron also became dishonest instead of claiming honesty. Verse 24, talks about the calf, he references it, and he tells Moses that all he did was throw in the gold, and out pops this amazingly well-crafted golden calf. It doesn't look like much leadership is happening in the camp of Israel right now. Now, Aaron, who was so eager to grab the reins of this leadership role and to make decisions, is slowly and quietly trying to separate himself from any responsibility whatsoever. You know, I can think about some leaders in my life that at different points humbly admitted that they made some mistakes. You know, I don't know why it's so hard for us to do that. I guess I know why, because I know my own heart, but truth be told, sometimes we think there's more to lose in reversing course than simply being honest with ourselves and other people and saying, you know what, Dad made a wrong decision here. Or, you know what, people at my workplace, you know what, this wasn't the right decision that needed to be made. Aaron is at that place. He's not leading. He's using his influence for wrong. Think about the impression that would have been left on the minds of those Israelite people. Think about the imagery that maybe when they saw Aaron passing and for the next few weeks or even years as they saw him, I wonder what would have come to mind. And whereas it's easy for us tonight to sort of pick on Aaron because we have this situation, all I'm saying is this, that when things go wrong, a leader is one who steps up. Teenagers, listen, when somebody begins trashing their parents or even talking in a disrespectful way about the Lord, that's the time to step up. That's not the time to regress and be passive. When the Lord brings things to our mind of things that we see in our kids or maybe in our family, things that do not appear to be going well, that's not the time to deny and move away and separate. That's the time for us to get on our knees and say, Lord, help us as we go forward. Lord, give me the wisdom to make things right. How different would this situation have been if we would have seen Aaron on his knees before the Lord? We won't really know that, but notice the last thing tonight as we close things, and this is perhaps one of the most important lessons that I see here. We've seen the fact that leaders recognize their ability to influence, and that's such a precious thing the Lord has given us. We've seen that leaders make decisions that are guided by principles. We've seen that leaders continue to influence even when things go wrong. But notice last of all that leaders learn from past mistakes. I want you to go with me now, if you would, just quickly. Go with me to Exodus, the end of Exodus 32 and verse 35. This is really a sad verse as we read it, but notice the emphasis that the Lord places at the end of this chapter. It says, and the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. If there was any thought in our mind as to, well, maybe Aaron really wasn't involved, I think it puts to rest that idea as we see here that the Lord specifically says that this was something that Aaron was heavily involved in and had conducted. But number four, leaders learn from past mistakes. And I'm so glad that this was not the end of Aaron's leadership role. There's part of me that really, when I look at this lapse of leadership, I say, you know, why is it that the Lord allowed him to continue on? And it's the same reason the Lord allows us to continue on. It's because we serve a merciful and a gracious and a loving God who knows that we are on a path of growth in our leadership and our influence. Would you turn with me just briefly to the book of Numbers? This is the last passage we'll look at tonight. Numbers chapter 12. When you close out Exodus chapter 32, it looks and seems like Aaron is a man who was unwilling to see his own faults in leadership. But yet I think that Numbers chapter 12 shows us some progress has taken place. Notice Numbers chapter 12 and verse 11. To give you a little bit of context here, Aaron has questioned Moses in his leadership and has made that clear to Moses, and Moses rebukes him. And perhaps an old Aaron would have said, you know what, I still don't think you're making the right choice. You know, I still don't think that you're the one that should make this decision. Maybe an old Aaron would have buckled down and doubled over. Notice his words here in verse 11. It says, "And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us where we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned." You know what I think? Aaron learned somewhere along the line, somewhere along the path. The Lord convicted his heart, and he learned that in that situation, he was wrong, and that he learned that he needs to be willing to admit his mistake. You know, I'm so thankful the Lord uses imperfect people. I'm so thankful the Lord uses me. And I think that if we had to be honest tonight, I think that every single one of us, whether it's as a parent, whether it's a church leader, a voice in the community, or a voice in the workplace, we'd have to say, you know what, there's been times where we've had, as Aaron had, lapses of leadership. You know, and the worst thing we can do in that moment is to just lie down and roll over and say, well, I guess God's done with me. I can't be used. That must be it. You know what, Aaron's learning from his mistake gives every single one of us in this room hope that we can continue on the path of leadership, ultimately on the path of greatest influence possible. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Just a moment, we'll have a brief invitation. We'll sing a verse, most likely only one verse. I just encourage you to think about your leadership roles. If you're like me, you've got several: husband, father, youth pastor, neighbor. How's our influence? Is there a lapse any place? Let's learn from Aaron tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, most of all for, Lord, how it changes us. Lord, it gets us to a place where we can have the most influence for you. Lord, I can hardly even think about, Father, what a congregation, a group of people, Lord, who are completely yielded to your influence in our lives. Father, the type of influence we could have in the life of others. God, would you use Temple Baptist Church? Lord, would you use our youth group? Would you use our children to bring glory to your name? In your name we pray. Amen.